Peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whose fault is it? Why is this person this way? Why is she gay? Was she groomed to be that way? Why is he so depressed? What did his parents do to make him that way? Which social media platform told her to be trans? Why doesn't their family have the right immigration papers? Why can't he just get an apartment and a job and keep it? Humans are obsessed with fault. We want to know why this happens and who can we blame for it. We want accurate information so we can make sense of the world and of people and especially of suffering, especially our own suffering. Sometimes this desire for answers reaches the absurd. The Industrial Revolution caused every kind of unemployment and every kind of financial woe leading up to today. Feminism is responsible for the destruction of the nuclear family. Homosexuals caused AIDS and 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina and probably the fall of the Holy Roman Empire. I didn't know I was so powerful. But more often, our human obsession with fault is less dramatic and more insidious. It shows up as polite prejudice or silent skepticism of real human suffering. It shows up as bills introduced and laws passed which intentionally place blame and shame on entire groups of people. And we do this to keep the world as we know it, or wish it to be, nice and tidy, quantifiable, systematic. This obsession with fault showed up one day as some disciples walking with Jesus saw a man on the side of the road, and they casually asked him, "Oh, Rabbi, who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Hear that again. Neither parent sinned. He did not sin. It was no one's fault. That should have been the end of the story. Jesus said it. We believe it. Amen? Okay, but then we had to ask the question. So is Jesus saying that it was God's idea then? Did God the Creator think to God's self, "What I really need right now is for more people to see and appreciate my work. And so therefore I think I'll make this one blind and this one a woman and this one trans. And I think I'll give this one cancer and I'm going to send a hurricane to destroy this whole area of the earth. And then they will see. Then they will believe in me, the creator of the universe." Is this what Jesus meant by saying he was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him? Was the man born blind planted there so that a couple thousand years later we could say, "There but for the grace of God go I"? In spite of what you may have heard from certain false prophets, know this: the God of the universe does not hand out disease and suffering, war and violence, racism or prejudice to God's children as if from a deck of cards. I will not and cannot believe in a God who cares for our well-being in the same way as a good hand of cribbage. Hear Jesus' words to the disciples again. Jesus said, "This man was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Let's think of this as a fill-in-the-blank kind of problem, okay? This person was born blank so that God's works might be revealed in them. We might feel comfortable answering it like this. This person, Johann Sebastian, was born with musical gifts so that God's works might be revealed in him. Amen? Amen. This person, Desmond, was born with leadership skills, so he might lead many to liberation and justice, and God's works might be revealed in him. Amen? This person, Sojourner, was born with great courage, so that God's works might be revealed in her. Amen? And also this person was born trans, so that God's work might be revealed in them. Amen? This person was born with autism, so that God's work might be revealed in them. Amen? This person was born and lived a long life so that God's work might be revealed in their later years. Amen? Do you think we might simply take out that blank in this sentence? Do you think that maybe we could just say this person was born? This person was born so that God's work might be revealed. Beloveds, we are not fill in the blanks in someone's game of whose fault is it anyway. Each of our lives are revelations of the holy. Each of our bodies are reflections of the Creator's image. We are no one's fault. Each one of us at the same time, saint and sinner, shines the light of God's love into a world weighed down by the weight of our human sinfulness, even in these many centuries post-resurrection. It so happens that this coming Friday, March 24th, is the feast day for Brazilian Archbishop Oscar Romero. Romero was shot and killed while celebrating Mass on March 24th, 1980. He was murdered in retaliation for his outspoken advocacy for the poor during a time of escalating conflict, a conflict that led to the Salvadoran Civil War. But Romero was not always seen as a liberator. In fact, when he was appointed as Archbishop in 1977, many were concerned that his socially conservative views would hamper the efforts of liberationists and justice activists in the region. But soon after his appointment as Archbishop, he witnessed the murder of a friend of his, a friend who was birthing grassroots activism among the poor. And the Archbishop, after this experience, was instantly converted. He became an outspoken advocate for the poor and for all who were affected by violence and war. One of Romero's quotes particularly spoke to me this week, especially as I was contemplating our scripture text about the blind man on the side of the road. Archbishop Romero wrote, "There are many things that can only be seen through eyes that have cried. There are many things that can only be seen through eyes that have cried." Archbishop Romero was a disciple. He was a lover of Jesus. And when he saw his friend killed for caring for the poor, his eyes were opened. And he became a person who saw the blind man on the side of the road and could not look away. He saw suffering with open eyes. And then, most importantly, he tried to see with the eyes of the man on the side of the road. He once was blind, but now he could see. He no longer asked why God would make someone poor, but he did spend the rest of his life asking why. Why is this man, created and beloved by God, sitting on the side of the road? Why are any of God's beloved children cast out, disregarded, living on the margins? In his book, The Violence of Love, Romero writes, "For the church, the many abuses of human life, liberty, and dignity are a heartfelt suffering. The church, entrusted with the earth's glory, believes that in each person is the Creator's image and that everyone who tramples it offends God. As holy defender of God's rights and of God's images, the church must cry out. It takes as spittle in its face, as lashes on its back, as the cross in its passion, all that human beings suffer, even though they be unbelievers. They suffer as God's images. There is no dichotomy between man and God's image. Whoever tortures a human being, whoever abuses a human being, whoever outrages a human being abuses God's image. And the church takes as its own that cross, that martyrdom. In our gospel text for today, the story of the blind man on the side of the road, Jesus' words disturb our neat and tidy understanding of the world. Jesus shakes up any explanation that we might try to create, which places blame for injustice solely on something or someone supernatural. I think one of the most important things we can take from this text today is that while God's works may seem at times mysterious and confusing, our works as humans are usually not so confusing. What did the people do when the man who was born blind told his story? What did they do? They drove him out. He told the truth, and they drove him out. I find this part of the story fascinating because the man was already living on the margins. He was already on the side of the road, cast out of the village. He was already not causing them too much trouble, but now, because he told the truth, he was cast out. Now, because he was out and proud, he was cast out. What does it say about us, really, that we're more comfortable with people who are sick than with people who are whole? There are many things that can only be seen through eyes that have cried, said Oscar Romero. Oscar Romero, child of God, heard the voice of Jesus. He heard the voice, and then he heard the voice of the poor, which is one and the same. And in response, he gave voice to those who had none, and they drove him out as well. They murdered him at the altar when he was speaking the ultimate transgressive words, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Dear ones, do you have a story to tell? Do we, the church, have a story to tell? Have our eyes been opened? I think this is why we are here today. Because we do have a story. We have a story to tell. We have a story of promise and of suffering and of healing and of hope. We hold, each of us in our collective body, the story of Jesus, both crucified and risen. We, together, are no one's fault, but we are God's intentional, blessed, redeemed, beautiful dream. As Oscar Romero said, "Let us not forget, we are a pilgrim church, subject to misunderstanding, to persecution, but a church that walks serene because it bears the force of love. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen."